There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Some interesting questions raised in Isaiah chapter 40. Questions about who was it who made all of this? Now, the answer to that question is usually just the generic God. But, of course, Christians read the Old Testament not just looking for God. God's easy to find. Christians read the Old Testament looking for Christ, looking for Jesus himself. He tells us, he instructs us that this is how we are to read the Old Testament. This is how Jesus read the Old Testament. And not only does he tell us, go look there, you think you find eternal life therein, they testify of me. He also is able himself in the course of his ministry to explain from the Psalms and the prophets of Moses and the law, all of these things that are about him. So we should be looking in the Old Testament for Christ as well. That's why we do our weekly Christ in the Old Testament series here on Issues, Etc. This week with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 40. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
You say that Isaiah chapter 40 really is kind of about revealing the mystery of the incarnation. Take that apart for us. What do you mean?
Yeah, as we learn from the New Testament, a faith comes through hearing the preaching of Christ. And so when this word is proclaimed to us, who Christ is, what he does, the message of the cross, this is where the Holy Spirit works to open eyes to see and ears to hear. And this chapter in Isaiah is all about this preached word. I mean, you begin with this comfort, comfort to my people, that you have this word of comfort, the word incarnate who comes to restore us, to bring life where there is death. And this whole passage is about this preached word. It's about John the Baptizer, the forerunner of the Lord, preaching this word and preparing the way, the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, and making straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so you have this proclamation, the preaching of Christ with the forerunner. And then, of course, as Isaiah 40 goes on, it explains to us at verse 5 that the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see him together. This is about the revealing of the mystery of the incarnation, that God himself comes to dwell with his people, that God comes into creation to restore fallen creation. And as you continue on to verse 9 in this chapter, you have this passage about the preaching of the apostles. Go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. And so again, this is the proclamation of Christ that goes out from Jerusalem to Judea, to the Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And it's revealing this Christ. Behold, this is your God. This is the Creator and the Redeemer. And so you have this whole understanding that it's the word that is preached that opens eyes and opens ears. And this is where the Holy Spirit works in this preached word. And so you get to verse 13, and you have this, who has measured the Spirit of Yahweh, or what man shows him his counsel? So Yahweh himself is the Creator. Yahweh is the one who laid the foundation of the earth. Yahweh is the one who has planned all of this out and orders creation, and then he comes to reorder it when he restores. And so this one passage is unique in verse 13, where in the Hebrew it's the Ruach Yahweh, the Spirit of the Lord, but when the rabbis translate this into Greek, again, they're trying to explain and trying to teach, and it shows to us how this word is taught in those days. They take this and they talk about the mind of the Lord. So instead of who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has become his counselor. And so that's vitally important to see the shift between the Spirit of the Lord and the mind of the Lord from the Hebrew to the Greek.
Now, this one of the verses of this chapter actually gets quoted by Paul. Where is this and what does he do with it?
Paul is taking this passage from Isaiah 40, verse 13, and he uses it in two places and then unpacks it. He does this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then he also turns around and does this in Romans chapter 11. Now, when he does this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, this is where we have to understand this uniqueness in the rabbis translating this into Greek, because when he quotes this passage, he says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so to instruct us?" A question, this rhetorical question. And then he answers by saying, "But we have the mind of Christ." And so he's talking about the mind of Christ. Now, in that same passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he unpacks this understanding of the mind of Christ. What's the mind of Christ? Well, as we just said in the Hebrew, it's the spirit of Christ. So it's the spirit of the Lord, the mind of the Lord. And so when Paul is explaining this to us, he's revealing to us these divine realities. He's making this connection between the mind of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So in that same chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says that these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So here Paul is making this connection between the mind of the Lord in the Spirit of the Lord, that one who knows what God is thinking is the one who is the Spirit, for only the Spirit of a person really knows who the person is and what the person is thinking. And so Paul is making this whole connection here that when they are revealing the incarnation, they are giving the message of salvation here. It's the Holy Spirit that is proclaiming this through them. And then the Holy Spirit is working through this preached word so that they impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. So here Paul, he's commenting on this passage in Isaiah 40, that God has decreed this before the ages. So this is something that is ancient. This is something from the beginning, which of course echoes what Isaiah says in chapter 40, where he asks the rhetorical questions like Paul is doing and says, "Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" So that we have this understanding here that what God is revealing to the people of Israel in the days of Isaiah and in the days of the Apostle Paul is the same message. The Creator is the Redeemer. The one who has put everything into order is the one who will reorder it because of this fallen creation. And so when Paul is commenting on chapter 40 and trying to reveal this knowledge of salvation, trying to give this secret or hidden mystery of the incarnation and opening up eyes to see and ears to hear, he then, of course, ties this to Isaiah 64, because this is a constant theme through Isaiah about having eyes and ears that are either blind or deaf, or they are open and they can see and they can hear. And so Paul will say that the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit. And so he explains, by example, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, chapter 64, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And so here Paul is giving this knowledge, the knowledge that comes from the mind of God that only God himself can reveal. So it's the Spirit of God that makes this known to the apostles in this apostolic office, and then they are sent out to make this known to the ends of the earth, so that everyone would behold your God, that the glory of God, the Kavod Yahweh, would be revealed to all flesh.
Let's take a break. When we come back, there's another place where Paul actually quotes from this 40th chapter of Isaiah. It's in, another famous place of Paul's in Romans chapter 11. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're talking about Christ in the Old Testament, our series with him every week. Isaiah 40 is our subject. When we come back, how does Paul use a verse or two from Isaiah 40 when he quotes it in Romans 11?
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, February the 5th, our series called Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Looking at Isaiah chapter 40, there's another place where Paul quotes it again. It's a slightly different way of going about it. He quotes it in Romans chapter 11. What's there, Pastor Ketchelmeyer?
Yeah, again, we were looking at the New Testament to help us to understand what Isaiah is saying, because the same Holy Spirit that speaks through the mouth of Isaiah speaks through the mouth of Paul. And here Paul is taking this chapter to tell us that this is about Christ. And he goes on to say, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has seen or has been his counselor? So this is Paul, and he again is quoting from, he's alluding to, he's splicing together what Isaiah is saying in chapter 40. Because back in Isaiah 40, verse 28, again, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So here Paul is unpacking for us this Isaiah 40 passage. And then in order to do this, he ties together in Romans 11, Isaiah 29 that says, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear down to this very day. Now that passage in Isaiah is talking about the people of Israel who had the word but did not listen, who had the visions given by the prophets but would not see. And so even in Paul's day, they continue in this this blindness and in this darkness so that they cannot truly see what Isaiah is talking about. And then he splices this again to Isaiah 59, connecting this whole teaching together that the deliverer will come from Zion, he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. So that we understand all of this is about the Messiah, about Christ. Even though the people of God, the majority of Israel, the Jews in Paul's day, did not listen and did not see. Paul says this is exactly what happened in the days of Isaiah, and it's been happening with the people of God ever since the beginning, where God continues to send these prophets to reveal to them this knowledge, but yet you have the majority who refuses to hear.
Now, the important theme that runs through both of those, in Paul's use of Isaiah 40, is that according to the fall, we simply cannot see what God is showing and cannot hear what God is saying. Expand on that.
So this is the whole point, that fallen creation has this rift with the Creator. It's turned its back. It's in rebellion. It's in this state where it's in animosity and enemies to the Creator, so that all the Gentiles are in darkness. They do not see and they do not hear. And so this is the status of humanity, so that originally man was made in the image of God. But, of course, after the fall into sin, man begins to make gods in his own image. So it's from the imagination of his own heart, what he sees and what he wants to hear. So that these false images, like Psalm 135 tell us, all these false images, they have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. And they have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. So this understanding that fallen man makes these gods in his own image, and then he becomes like these deities that are not living, so that man is not truly living. He does not listen, just as these false images do not listen, and as the false images do not speak, neither does he. He does not speak to God, he does not hear God, and he does not see God. So this is man serving fallen creation rather than the Creator. And so in this passage in Isaiah 40, where you're talking about the revealing of this mystery, how the Creator of all things will reconcile creation. And it's revealed in this preaching of this word so that you can hear God's voice, and revealed in this vision that Isaiah is given so that others can see what Isaiah sees. And so immediately then in chapter 40, you go into this direction of these false images of God. Because to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol, and a craftsman cast it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and cast for its silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. And so this is in Isaiah 40, this, who are you going to compare me to? Who are you going to liken me to? As he also says in verse 45, what that I should be like? What would it be, says the Holy One? Who is it? Explain to me, O fallen man, who tries to make deities in your own image. You see, false gods make people blind and deaf so that they do not see and they cannot hear. So you have all of humanity, the Gentiles, they don't have God's word to enlighten them. But the problem that we constantly see is the majority of the people of God who do have that word, they act like those who are in darkness instead of being in the light.
So there is a great opportunity here where Isaiah not just says these things are beyond fallen man's comprehension, but man attempts to comprehend them in utterly false ways. It's a great opportunity for him to compare and contrast the futility of idols with what God himself reveals and says.
Yeah, and so this is what Paul will talk about when he opens up his chapter 1 to the baptized in Rome. And so in chapter 1, he says, claiming to be wise. Again, this goes back to this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he's talking about this wisdom of God that's being revealed. And so now he says, claiming to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creatures. sweeping things. And so you have this whole understanding, again, of the glory of God and the image of God. Now, the glory of God, of course, is Christ. The image of God is Christ. But they have taken these and exchanged this truth for this lie, this deception of the devil. And so that's why Paul will tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so again, in chapter 40 of Isaiah, we're talking about the revealing of the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, the one who is the true image. But yet fallen humanity continues to make these false images after the imagination of this fallen heart. And so they're always seeking after things that cannot give life. Only the Creator himself can give life. And apart from the Holy Spirit, they cannot see this.
Okay, take us just through briefly just a few places in the New Testament where Jesus is described in effect as the image of God, the true image, the true revealing image of God.
Yeah, you see this, for instance, in Colossians chapter 1, where we're talking about who Christ is, and you're revealing the mystery of the incarnation. And so Paul will say, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. And he'll go on and explain that he is also the creator, for all things came into existence through him. And so you have specifically that he is that image. So in Isaiah 40, well, who are you going to compare me to? Well, all of your imaginative ideas, that's not going to be reality. There is only one true image of God. And so what Christ comes to do is to restore fallen humanity, so that this fallen nature, this fallen state where our eyes do not see correctly and our ears do not hear rightly, is restored in the incarnation. And so Paul will explain this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, because remember, after the fall, man makes these deities after his fallen image. Well, we're all born in the image of Adam, of the dust. Now, what the incarnation does is we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So the incarnate one, the Son of God who comes from heaven, will restore this human nature. And this is this whole language of the baptism, that we are being renewed, that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we are beginning to put on the new self, as Paul will say in Colossians chapter 3, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And so now we are being restored as we were in the garden originally, when we were made in the image and likeness of God. And we lost that when Adam and Eve fell. But in the incarnation, this is now restored once again to us.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series with him every week, Christ in the Old Testament. 10 more minutes on the other side of the break. We're in Isaiah chapter 40. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. We'll talk a little bit more about Isaiah chapter 40 and the fact that God had revealed himself to his Old Testament people through visions, through things that they saw, and through his word, the things that they had heard from him. We'll be right back. We have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, This is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
The only thing that the devil has on you is your sin.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
But your sin, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. 10 more minutes in our Christ of the Old Testament series. Isaiah chapter 40 is the subject. So take us in there. You say that the people of Israel, God's Old Testament people, had in fact received from God both visions. We're talking here about God's revelation of himself to his people and also what God had to say, his revelatory word. Take us in there if you would.
Yeah, this is the problem that we have because of this fallen nature. The fallen nature is at animosity with God and does not want to hear what he has to say. It is in rebellion with the Creator. And so this is a constant theme throughout the book of Isaiah. He, in fact, opens up this whole scroll in chapter 1 where he speaks to the heavens. He speaks to creation. He says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's cribs, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." Well, that's how Isaiah opens up in chapter 1. But you see, the problem is they should know, they should understand, they should hear. This is what Moses told them back in Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And of course, Deuteronomy 18, that Moses tells about the prophet like Moses who will be raised up and listen to him, the one who has the words of eternal life. Well, throughout Isaiah, he's bringing this to their attention that they are not listening. And so in chapter 40, he says, "Do you not know?" It's a rhetorical question. "Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" Because God has revealed this message to you ever since the beginning with Adam and Eve. As soon as they fell into sin, God gives the promise of the Savior, the one who will be born of the virgin who will crush the serpent's head. And again in Isaiah 40, verse 28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" These rhetorical questions. And the answer is you should have, because I continue to send prophets in order to instruct you, but you don't want to be taught. You don't want to be listening to God's voice. So Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. And so even in this pursuit of Israel, he does not grow faint or weary. He continues to come to them that they may have life. But yet they continue to act like the Gentiles in darkness, following after all these false images. And this message, it goes on into the next chapter where he continues with these rhetorical questions and says, "Who has performed or done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and the last, I am he." Or again in chapter 41, "Who declared it from the beginning that we might know, and beforehand that we might say he is right." And so Yahweh continues to pursue them, not growing faint or weary, continuing to come to seek and to save the lost. And then ultimately, when you see the salvation of Yahweh come in the flesh with Jesus, this whole theme continues where they will not listen. And for instance, like in John chapter 8, when Jesus is instructing them, but they don't want to hear his voice, Jesus says to them, "Well, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And then so they respond, "Well, who are you then, Jesus?" And Jesus says to them, well, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. It's the same message from the beginning. Life comes from the Word of God. He brought everything into existence, and He continues to give life and speak it into creation. You see, there's only one God who is the Creator and Redeemer. There is only one who gives life and restores it.
Beginning theme that Jesus introduces there, especially if you find it in John's Gospel, can hardly fail to remind you of the way John's Gospel, well, pardon the pun, begins. Take us there.
Yeah, so again, I mean, these rhetorical questions with Isaiah, have you not heard from the beginning? And Jesus says, I've been telling you from the beginning, because Jesus, of course, is eternal God. He is the eternally begotten Son of God, the Word who continues to speak ever since the beginning. As John tells us in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So this passage in Isaiah 40 is about God being creator, and in particular here, the Messiah himself, the one who comes to save us as the Redeemer, is the same creator. And that's why Paul told us this in Colossians, that he is this image of the invisible God. And he continues in Colossians 1, saying that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, for he is the beginning. So not only was he there in the beginning, but he is the beginning of all things, the one who has brought everything into existence. But it's this one who does not grow faint or weary. He's the one that continues to speak his word to give life and to enliven his people. He's the one who gives power to the faint, as Isaiah will say as he ends up this chapter, saying that, and he is the one who, to the one who has no might, he increases strength. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for Yahweh shall be renewed in their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so this is a picture of the Creator restoring creation, that those who wait on Yahweh, trusting in this promise of the coming Messiah, they wait for His salvation, just like back in Genesis 49 when Moses taught them, that they continue to wait and they remain steadfast. They do not grow fiery or faint, or weary or faint, just like God does not, because He continues to sustain them.
So there is a theme, and if you would, in the last few minutes that we have, take us through some other places in Scripture that reinforce this. Always Scripture interprets Scripture and reinforces this theme that it is God who opens eyes, opens ears, so that people might believe in Him.
So since the beginning, all creation came into existence by the power of the Word. God speaks life into creation. And so we have this whole understanding throughout the Old Testament, and especially Isaiah, that it's that Word that gives life. And if you refuse to hear, then you will have death. You will separate yourself from God. We see this, like, for instance, in Psalm 78, where we are exhorted to give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. Now, this passage in Psalm 78, again, is God is instructing the people, saying, you're the disciple, I'm the teacher, you're the student, continue to listen, and I will continue to reveal. So incline your ears and continue to learn that you may have life. And then he gives us this note here about when he opens his mouth, he does this in parable and utters these dark sayings. So these things that are a little bit cloudy and mysterious. And again, unless the light, God himself, enlightens us, because he is the one who is the lamp unto our feet, then we don't listen anymore. We go astray. We refuse to continue to learn. And so this is the theme throughout Isaiah, that people, they've stopped listening. They've stopped looking to God. They look elsewhere to these false images, and they hear false messages. Well, this is what happens when the image of God comes in the flesh. When Jesus talks in chapter 13, and when he does this in parables. so that Jesus will say that when he talks in parables, he's doing this on purpose to do what is fulfilled by Psalm 78, which the prophet proclaimed that he would do this, that he opens his mouth in parables, and he will utter what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. See, this word of God was to be handed down from generation to generation. Our fathers of old knew it from the beginning, ever since Adam and Eve, that we should wait upon Yahweh. And as students, we continue to look to the Holy Spirit as the teacher, the one who enlightens us and gives us the light of his word. Well, as Jesus is talking about these parables and why he speaks in parables, it's because there are those who don't want to be his students, those who don't want to hear and see what he says. And then this is where Jesus will quote from Isaiah 6. That
about 20 seconds here.
Oh, okay. Indeed, this case is true, that they will indeed hear but never understand. But then Jesus turns to disciples and says, but I've given to you the secrets of the kingdom of heaven.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, look forward to next week's conversation with you on Christ in the Old Testament.
Very good. We'll see you next week, Todd.
We have Jesus standing there in the Old Testament, and you think about him coming in his incarnation. He's dealing with his opponents. They're asking him the same question that they have been asking God all along. And who are you? He says, what I've been telling you from the beginning, not just from the beginning of his ministry, from the very beginning, revealing himself as the one who would come as Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
How does confessional Lutheran theology measure up against popular yet false worldviews, ideas, and religions? Find out at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Friday, February 6th and Saturday, February 7th at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Meet and hear regular guests Chris Rosebro, Dr. Joel Heck, and others at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 6th and 7th in San Antonio. flc-sa.org, flc-sa.org.